coming from the Marquesas Islands, there's not a lot of representation in the media, in the mainstream media. So for me, when I moved to New Zealand, I wanted to be an actor straight away. I wanted to act, and that was my dream. Didn't get the funding. They're like, oh, you know, it's hard to play a homeless person. I don't know how you're going to pull that off. But it gave me a lot of, like, anger. I was like, man, you think I can't pull this off? Man, I came all the way to my island for you to tell me that you can't pull this off? And then it gave me a lot of, like, anger and a lot of hunger, too. And same for my dad, man. He sacrificed so much of his dreams, man, just to be with us, just to be able to feed us, just to be able to teach us how to be good men, you know. I saw that, and I lived through every single struggle they've gone through, every single sacrifice that inspired me. He succeeded with everything thrown at him. He succeeded, made it to the point where he can help people today, and still he's helping people today, helping me. That's what inspired me a lot. So that kid that got told that you might not pull this off, I pulled off, man. The team pulled off, and thanks to the team who helped me too. You know, there were times where they didn't believe in me. It's okay, man. But man, they believed in me all the way to the end, and we made the film happen. So that's the magic of it.
Welcome to Mandate, where we navigate fresh perspectives and nothing is off the table. Tonight's guest is from Tāmaki Makaurau. He's been here for 7 years. Yes, 7 years, but he is of Marquesan descent. Yes, Marquesan, yes, the beautiful islands of Marquesas. And the man is a talented individual. He's an actor, he's a producer, director, screenwriter. The man is also a Marquesan haka choreographer. He's also a haka composer. The man has also had his very first debut film, short film, called Find Where I Belong, and also won the best short film in the FIFA International Film Awards. The man also, you recognize his face on Shortland Street. Yes, also in Vegas, but more recently, the man is the recipient of the Day One Image Zone Awards, and so a very, very talented man. Also, let me just add that it's the Addison brother, he's also a very good husband as well, amazing husband.
I hope so.
But has an amazing story to share. Please put your hands together for the man himself. Thank you so much for gracing us tonight.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's such an honor for me to be here, to be able probably to be the first Marquesas Islander to be here and share my story. So such an honor for me to be talking to you today, man. Be here as well. Thank you.
Awesome, brother. Awesome. And mahalo, lover, kahu, because... and props to the lovely Robin for
hey, thank you, Robin.
Yeah, Robin for...
thank you, Robin.
for giving us a download on the brother, but more so because... because it seems like it's something in the airwaves at the moment, Kahu. You got all these directors. You got these. Obviously, we had Miki Mangasiva not too long ago.
Yeah,
and something about the film industry, or more so the industry in terms of entertainment. And because you're a director, you're a film director as well. But also a producer, screenwriter, and an actor. And so, brother, tell us. How did this come about? Was there something in the Marquesas Island, or was there something that you, when you came to New Zealand, that kind of got you into this this industry, or something that attracted you to this? Tell us, brother, run it back for us and give us the download.
Yeah, man, like coming from the Marquesas Islands, there's not a lot of representation in the media, in the mainstream media. So for me, when I moved to New Zealand, I wanted to be an actor straight away. I wanted to act, and that was my dream. And I watched a lot of New Zealand films, and I saw how much my parents, my community enjoyed films. And then I told myself, well, I'm going to be an actor. And I moved to New Zealand in 2018. I came first in 2017 to learn English. And it came in 2018. I auditioned for a drama school. And eventually I got in and trained as an actor. And there I sort of realized how different I was, how different I am, really. Coming into a world where you're from the Marquesas Islands. Nobody knows where you're from. You're neither Samoan, neither Tongan, neither Cook Island, neither Niuean. Everybody's trying to figure out where you're from. And I had to learn English in the way as well. So from there, when I went to drama school, it was a big, big wake-up call for me to be like, the world doesn't know who I am. So from there, I trained. And came out of drama school thinking, what am I going to do? I don't think I'm going to get a lot of roles or something like that. So I said to myself, well, I'm probably going to write. I'm probably going to direct. And because of that, I've been part of a dance group for a long time. I write a lot of haka and shows. So I sort of use all my experience before acting and implement it into the film industry. And that's how I came today to be a little bit of everything, because I have to be a little bit of everything for myself. I have to write role for myself. I have to direct things and produce films for the Marquis of Silence. So I have to navigate all those roles, even though it's hard, but I feel like it's something that our ancestors used to navigate through. And yeah, I'm trying my best, really, yeah.
Man, awesome, brother. And it seems like it. I don't know, maybe it's just there's a common thread, Kahu, in terms of storytelling. Mm. And obviously you're proud, very proud. It sounds like you're very proud of my cases.
Yeah.
And so when you bring it back to obviously the acting, and you're like a jack of all trades, Kahu. And so what, you came to New Zealand, you said you wanted to be an actor. What was the inspiration behind that? Why actor? What made you say, okay, I just want to be an actor? Was it something embedded in you? Was it something that you saw in my cases on, or was it just because of the entertainment you were surrounded? It has to be something. What was it? Was it just because of the family?
For me, when I watched films, I felt like I could be in there. I think it was a dream first. I think you see this world that is out there and you think there's a film is a type of reality. And so many times, because you live in the island, there's not so much you can do. You know, you live in an island, things can be limited sometimes. So I saw film as an escape. And I see my parents watching, you know, Spanish shows or Brazilian shows on TV. And there was a way for them to escape. And there was a way for me to escape as well. So watching those films, I could become those characters. So from there, I say, you know what? I want to be an actor. I want to try to do something like that. But also, you know, like for me, when I was a kid, I was someone that sort of could show a lot of empathy to things. Like I was really sensitive. I'm still a sensitive person. And when I look at films and I try to replicate that scene, I'm like, damn, I can feel that truth. I can feel the truth in that scene. I can, you know, give life to that character if I had to play it. And then eventually that dream of acting came to life when I started to perform, because I went to Tahiti. So for the people who don't know, Marquis of Silence is separated from Tahiti. It's a bit away from Tahiti. So there's a lot of Marquisian who live in Tahiti. They are part of the big diaspora. So I moved to Tahiti to study at uni, and then I started to dance, and I enjoy performing arts. I enjoy being in front of a public. And then from there, I sort of realized that I can go international. I can dream of doing that internationally and travel and be an actor. And for my parents, it was really difficult to accept that. I think it wasn't something that they planned for me. They, you know, the usual plan back home is, you know, you got to be a teacher, got to be working in a hotel, stuff like that. But for me, I wanted to be an actor. I think it was a calling for me. It was a calling for me, yeah.
Man, awesome. It's interesting. You said that it was like a calling for you. And was it fair to say, Kahu, it was like acting kind of called you? You didn't just kind of like, oh, okay, just want to be an actor. It's just for like the calling of acting. And like, and plus you were already embedded in it. You were already entrenched in the dancing in Tahiti and so forth. And so I like it what you said in terms of empathy. You can feel the emotions when you're watching films and you want to replicate that kind of emotion. So were you one of those kids, let's say, by the way, because I love films as well. I love watching films. And I also love the action. And as a kid, Kahu, I'm not too sure if you were into the martial arts genre and all so forth. So were you one of those kids, after watching that film, you go outside and start practicing?
How many cousins I kicked in the ass, I'm telling you, bro. Like, just watching martial arts, all the Bruce Lees.
Bruce Lee.
Bro, I used to hang out with the ninchucks, you know, going around and smacking things with ninchucks. Like, you know, I live in a plantation. I used to kick those plants, these brick branches, and my dad used to be upset about me because, man, I was just planning this for 10 years. You're trying to break them because you want to practice your kicks. But, man, I watched all the Bruce Lee films like probably 100 times, man.
Which one was your favorite?
I think everything. I think there was a big album of all of them. There was a big package of. I think it's something about the dragon.
Way of the Dragon.
Yeah, yes. Way of the Dragon. So there's like there was five DVDs that we used to watch with my cousin back to back, and man, it's crazy. That's my childhood right there.
Bro, this seems like with both of us, bro. And so, obviously, the acting and so forth. But what I would ask you as well, because it's quite interesting, because like I said, you're well versed in all these different areas, mm-hmm. acting, producing, directing, screenwriting, and so forth. But I'm just wondering, what makes you feel most at home out of all of those different elements? Which one creatively? Which one makes you feel most at home?
Creatively, I think acting and directing. I really love acting because I sort of find myself in there being in a sort of trance when I act, especially when I like the character or the character resonate a lot with me, or I can feel like the character can have an impact on the people, on the audience, which is new. That opportunity didn't really come to me. It just came recently, but that's what I love about acting. Also the fact that it's so easy. You know, it's so easy to act. Like, I mean, for someone who trained, I can say that, but you show up on set, you got to put on your makeup, everybody's looking after you, and everybody spoil you, everybody try to offer you food, you show up, shoot your scene, and go home. And that's easy, you know, and then I enjoy that part of acting, is that luxury to be there, be like, well, I got to be a piece of this, and I'm going to do my best, and get paid for 8 hours, even though I did 2 hours, and then go home and get to be seen on TV. So that's something that I enjoy about acting. But at the same time, it's the whole representation. I think for me, knowing that we're not a lot in the industry, we're not a lot of people on screen. So for me, I see acting as also a responsibility. You know, I get to be there, but I get also to see people outside watching from the Marquesas Island saying, well, I can see someone in there, in that character. I know is someone from the Marquesas Island, and I feel represented, and I feel seen. So that's something that came up recently. I mean, it's been in my mind for years, but now that I've got stuff out there, I can see the impact. That's first thing I love about acting. And then directing, man, it's Marquesas Island is one of the most cinematic places in the world. Like, you look at the landscapes, the mountains, the sea, but also the people. And Marquesas Islands, we have some really cool people. And that's what I enjoy about me being directing, is having the opportunity to share my people to the world. And that's something that I cherish a lot. And I'm doing it slowly. The first time I did my short film, Find Where I Belong, was just me trying to act and trying to direct, which was really hard. And shout out to Nikki Siulepa. She really helped me a lot with that directing part. And she's one of my mentor. And then the second time, my second short film, I'm trying to get my brother into acting and then really show his tattoos and show my culture, show the language, which is really difficult. But that's what I love about directing, is to be able to have the power to say, I want that vision to be like this. I want my people to be represented. And also I get to, you know, hopefully one day to show how cinematic the Marquesas Island is. Yeah. And that's what I love about those things. And then writing came with Haka composing. And I compose a lot of Haka for a lot of people in French Polynesia. So writing is not something that I'm not familiar. But if I have to do two things in life, it will be directing and acting. Man. Yeah. And producing is really hard. So I got my partner to do it. So,
bro, man, props to you, man. And just sitting here, just listening to you, I can tell you're very passionate. You're very passionate about what you do. You mentioned responsibility, and so I'm just gauging that, or just assuming the responsibility of representing Marquesas Island, obviously your people, and you're hoping that the work that you do, and it just flows through your art piece and so forth, and people know. This is the beautiful Marquesas. You talk about the landscapes, the beautiful mountains and so forth. And so does that kind of weigh heavy on you sometimes, Kahu, when you're thinking about your culture and so forth? It's like it's kind of like you said, the responsibility, it kind of weighs heavy on your shoulders. Or is it just like, you know, I'm proud to just represent my culture?
Yeah, I think it comes with pride, but also knowing that my parents have sacrificed so much for me to be here. Like, they work really hard to provide for all of us, and I see the Marquesas Island values in them. And that's something that I see as a responsibility. Also, I see that as a gift, you know? Like, what I do with films and acting and whatever positive impact that is out there that is doing to the audience, it's a way to heal my people, man. That's the main thing. And, you know, telling my parents this sacrifice was worth the sacrifice to let me pursue this. But also the Marquesas Islands, man, we're so far away from everywhere. And it's really hard for us to have a platform. You know, you would see French Polynesia, the first thing you hear was Tahiti, Bora Bora, and all those islands. But Marquesas Islands, man, there's a lot of things we can learn from those people, the history. And that's why I see that as a responsibility, because there's not a lot of us. And because there's not a lot of us, we might not have another shot at this. You know, another person that will come after me, they'll be a filmmaker. I don't know when it's going to happen, bro. It's probably going to take a long time. But I definitely can see where you're coming in terms of a weight. It can't be a weight for me. I feel like sometimes it's a weight for me to be able to go out there and wear the flag on my back. But I'm proud to do that. But also that I love why I'm in New Zealand. You know, the fact that I moved to New Zealand to do this was the right decision. If I stayed in the Marquesas, I'll probably do something else. But the fact that I am in New Zealand, I get to be myself. You know, when you move to another country, you get to be who you really are, you, without your culture, without your parents seeing you as a kid, without your community seeing you from the Marquesas Islands, you get to be you. And I see the Marquesian person wearing the flag, but I see me in there in New Zealand having fun, having to be myself, having to be able to share who I am. You know, you don't know who I am. A lot of people in French Polynesia might know who I am and what I do, but the fact that I'm here, I'm able to share my journey, that's the fun part for me. And I don't see that as a responsibility. I see that as a reward. Man. Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful, brother. I love your outlook on that. Yeah, because some people can say, it's a responsibility and it just kind of weighs heavy and it can be often quite distressful and bring forth a lot of stress. But I love how you put it. You said, hey, it's obviously representing your people, but obviously with pride. But like, and it's beautiful what you said, Kahu, that whilst you're here in New Zealand, that you actually 100% my case, I can just be myself.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful. I think, because I can imagine some people who go to different countries or around the world, and then they feel like they have to assimilate, and then they kind of lose themselves.
Yeah.
And they're trying to feel like, oh, I need to fit in. I need to fit in. I need to be like these individuals. I need to be like this cluster or group. But I love how you put it, because you said, I am just 100% my case, and I'm proud 100% of my culture. I can just be me in the midst of all these different people in New Zealand.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes we identify too much with who we are in terms of ethnicity, people of color. We identify with a lot of those things. That's why we have a lot of identity crisis. I identify as this. I identify as that. And sometimes who I am as a human being, you know, out there without being all of those things, who I am. Am I able to love? Am I able to share? Am I able to feel other people? Am I able to share a laugh? Am I able to tell my story without being all those things? You definitely can. And for me, I'm Kahu Kaya. It's just me without being all those things. And you can wear any pants you want. And for me, being in New Zealand helped me identify myself from that pressure. And that's what helps me in the industry as well. You know, being an actor, director, being a filmmaker, you don't get to have a sustainable life. And it's easy to identify yourself through that process. And if you don't know how to disidentify yourself, you should hurt yourself, because you only see yourself that way. Same as seeing myself as a Marquesian. You know, there's a lot of things that I say, that I do, that goes against a lot of Marquesas Island people, what they believe. But I do that because that comes from my heart. And as a Marquesian, I might be sometimes guilty of saying those things, but I know from my perspective, from my heart, it helps humanity. I see humanity as a whole, and I want to be able to be part of humanity rather than trying to belong to a group, or even though it feels good to belong to a group, but I want to belong to humanity. I want to be able to be like that and feel accepted in that big, big, big community, who we are as humans. And that's the journey I like going into, because that's a journey that is freeing me. You know, I don't get to have the limits of my culture, of my job. I get to meet people and be like, man, you're just like me. And I don't feel alone. And because you're just like me, you can help me. I can help you, you know. That's the journey I'm going with, trying to disidentify myself from those things. And that helps me have fun in art. Yeah.
That's beautiful, brother. Also, I love it. Like you said, obviously there's a collective, AM Kahu, there's a collective, and you want to, obviously you want to be part of the group, and also just feel accepted and so forth. But I love what you said, like you, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kahu, I love it that you said that sometimes I might have to go against some of the beliefs or the values or the attitudes around my culture, but it's about humanity. And it takes a lot of guts to do that. It takes a lot of courage. Even you being here, 7 years from my case, it takes a lot of courage to be here and to follow your dreams and your pursuit. And so, you know, and I think it's a good segue in terms of your directorial debut film, short film, Find Where I Belong, because we're talking about identity and culture.
Yeah.
Find Where I Belong. How did that all unravel for you? And what was the inspiration around that short film that won the FIFA International Short Film
in Tahiti?
Give us the lowdown.
Man, that short film changed my career. It changed my career because it came at the time where who's gonna write about a Marquesian guy who doesn't have a Kiwi accent, weird English accent, look like a Polynesian, but does it sound like a guy from New Zealand? So I wrote that script based on the story of my dad, because I said to myself, if I have to play something, have to play something close to home, because my dad used to be homeless back when he was young, and his dream was to make it in Tahiti, and he was struggling and doing different jobs, and all he wanted is to bring his family home. And Find Where I Belong was that story about my dad was the inspiration for Find Where I Belong. And then for me it was a mix as well, because I felt like Find Where I Belong, when I came to New Zealand the first time, I felt homeless, man. I felt like I didn't have a home. And I was living in homestay families. They were amazing. And shout out to my homestay families. Thank you so much for taking this Marquesas Island kid, unknown, out of nowhere, and try to feed them and help them. So thank you to them. But when I came, I felt homeless. I felt like I couldn't identify with anything. And I loved the streets, man. I used to walk and I used to walk a lot in the streets, run, and I see homeless people, and I try and observe how they are and who they are. And that inspired me to write that film, because I always see homeless people as someone that tried, you know, someone that tried and probably in the way to succeed or not, but it's someone that tried. And I wanted to feel that humanity in those characters. And then I wrote the film and at the beginning, it was just a 5-minute scene that I did in ScreenFit. ScreenFit is a workshop that Nikki Siulepa created for us. And I did it in ScreenFit because I wanted just to act and see how it is, how it sounds. But, it was born from an acting class first. I had a friend of mine, Steve. We wanted to act. I wrote the script, got into ScreenFit, and then I just realized, you know what, let's make this a film. And at the beginning, I was so scared to be like, let's make it a Marquesian character. I was scared because I was scared that people wouldn't identify, wouldn't see themselves in there. But I was, you know what? Screw it. And we got the script done. I got a table read. So I got people to read it. I got people to give feedback on. And then the script was sort of polished. So I needed to find a crew. And my partner, she worked on this cooking show called Sik Fan La. And we got a crew from there. We got Daryl of DOP, we got Joey the soundie, we got all those people in to make that film. And it was my acting, directing debut. I didn't know how to direct, so Nikki Siulepa helped me. And man, that was a really interesting shoot. Before the shoot, I crowdfunded that film. And I funny enough, I applied for funding through day one, there used to be some days where I didn't get the funding. They're like, oh, you know, it's hard to play a homeless person. I don't know how you're going to pull that off. Man, it gave me a lot of like anger. I was like, man, you think I can pull this off? Man, I came all the way to my island for you to tell me that you can't pull this off. And then it gave me a lot of like anger and a lot of hunger too. So we crowdfunding the film. Man, when I crowdfunded the film, that's where I changed my mind about acting. That's where I changed my mind about career. Because most of the people who donated for my film, they were from French Polynesia. Yeah, and I went out there, do a boosted video, asking people for money. Man, I got money. People that don't even know from French Polynesia donated to my film. And I felt a huge honor, huge responsibility. I was like, you know, I got to make this. Because people are backing me up. I got to make this. And people back home are believing in me more than I believe in myself. So I got to believe in myself. Make the film, shoot it. Man, it was magic. It was, for me, it's such a magic shoot because I could really feel my ancestors with me. I could really feel the universe trying to help me achieve something. So we shot most of the scene in the street in real life with real people. So yeah, man, we shot in the street with real people, and I couldn't help but just be real all the time. I was with a lot of people. I had a responsibility to make that film. So we were on K Road, we were in Western Spring, we were under a bridge, and all those things were real. There were places where homeless people lived and spent time every day. And that become sort of a motivation for me to make it work. And then eventually the short film got made and it got through FIFO, and I get to show people that I made the film. And people showed up, be like, man, we gave you that money to help you, but you actually made the film. And when he won FIFO, man, it was a big achievement for me. You know, that kid that got told that you might not pull this off, I pulled off, man. The team pulled off, and thanks to the team who helped me too. You know, there were times where they didn't believe in me. It's okay, man. But man, they believed in me all the way to the end, and we made the film happen. So that's the magic of it. And Find Where I Belong is sort of helped me make with my career, because it got sold to French TV straight away. So it won FIFO, got sold to French TV. Right now is on Air Tahiti Nui Airline. And that got me my first feature film role. Yeah, and that is going to get me another TV series role soon. So that short film just gave me a whole bunch of opportunities. It opened the door for me. So, yeah.
Man, bro, this is one of those chihu moments, eh? This is when you do that chihu.
Yeah, man.
Man. Just describing that, Kahu, because it seems like a movie in itself.
Yeah.
Like you said, hey, KR, give me the crowdfunding, and then they won. Then like, okay, and they kind of fuel the fire.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I can do this. And then, like, I like how you said, like, oh, the people just came, French Polynesian people came, said, hey, they came to the party, and they actually 100% believed in you when you felt like, oh, what do I believe in myself?
Yeah, man.
And they pushed you to it, and you, what an amazing story. And then you win the FIFA International Film Festival, and it's opened up all these doors.
Yeah, bro.
And so imagine, Co, if you just said, you know what, maybe they're right. Or, I don't know, and you kind of self, a bit of doubt there. But it just shows, Co, it shows the individual that you are.
Yeah, man.
It shows the individual that you are, and the courage to do that, even when you're like, I don't know what the heck's going to happen. I don't foresee what, I don't know, in hindsight, what's going to happen. And you do this, and now the doors have opened. You mentioned a feature film and a series.
Mm.
Are we able to talk about that, Dakota, or is that under wraps?
I can talk about the feature film. We just finished shooting it in October, and it's already released in France. But the TV series, I can't really talk about it.
What's the feature film? What's the feature film about?
Funny enough, guess what? The feature film we call Murder in the Marquesas Islands, bro. So my first feature film role, I got a shot back home, man. I got a shot in Marquesas Islands. The shot in the Marquesas Islands, man.
Wow.
And how small the world is, and how, you know, finally the universe can turn things around. My first feature film role, I got to play a Marquesian person in the Marquesas Islands. So, yeah.
Wow. So it's already out?
It's out. It's out on French TV. It might come up into the English platform soon. It's called Murder in the Marquesas.
And so she's not giving away too much of your characters. Are you actually acting directing it?
I'm acting in it. I'm one of the lead. I can't really tell who I am in the role. Oh, I think people might guess that, you know, a brown person in the film. What are they going to be?
Awesome.
But I play quite a big part of the film. Yeah.
Congratulations. Congratulations. And then you got the series in French Polynesia as well.
French Polynesia.
Obviously it's under wraps. And it just goes to show, hey, when you really believe in and back yourself, and things can open, the doors can open.
Yeah, man.
And so, and I like what you said. You mentioned that when you first arrived here that it wasn't a bed of roses. People think you come here, oh, cool New Zealand, beautiful country. People are friendly and so forth. And it's not a beautiful, and often at times, people don't see the struggle.
Yeah, they don't see the struggle.
And they're looking, oh, Kahu's director, oh, amazing. But they don't see the struggle. They don't see the hard times. They don't see when you're feeling down and out. They don't see that when you get the no's and you're waiting for work and so forth. And so, Kahu, tell me, because I think it's very important, as a man, as a Marquesas man, what keeps you going? What's your inspiration, and what keeps you grounded during those hard times when you feel like, oh man, I don't know if I can do this?
Yeah. Well, before I reply to that, the hardship comes from like the core. Like, you know, when I trained acting, I couldn't understand English to that core. Like, for people who want to try acting, you speak English, go for it, man. If you really want to do it, do it. There's no excuse. Like when I went to drama school, I couldn't pronounce some words. I couldn't understand some scripts. So when I went in there, I went in there in the blue and I didn't learn acting. I learned English. So I came out of it and then I started acting in English. But this one with the feature film, first time I'm acting in French. So just to show the contrast, how hard it was for me to just make myself believable that people can believe in me. And I had to believe in myself to do that. But for me, the strengths come from, for Fine Where I Belong was the community, man. When I saw people donated money and I know they could, you know, get a feed for their family, they could take their family, you know, out and go to the cinema or do something even more useful than that. They donated that money to me because they believe in my dream. People that I don't even know, man. So for me, that gave me a lot of strength. That gave me a lot of strength. Be like, they believe in me. I can do this. But at the same time, the other thing is, it's knowing how much my parents sacrificed. It's knowing, man, I can't go back. Like, I sacrificed so much. I had a life in French Polynesia. That was quite cool, bro. I was leading a dance group. I was dancing in hotels and cruise ships. And I was traveling around the Pacific Islands and being able to, like, inspire some boys and make them dance and perform and all of those things. And then I quit all of that to become an actor. And my parents, they said, wow, are you sure this is what you want to do? I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do. And then I could see my parents tightening up their belt, be like, cool, you got to do this, right? I don't know how many years it's going to take you to be successful. But yeah, I saw my parents as a big inspiration. My community, man, like, they might not support you with words, but they support you with vibration. Like, people that see you and smile at you, be like, you know, they can nod at you. You know they're supporting you. I'm not saying that all of them support you, but the people who support you, they do support you, man. That's something that I love about French Polynesia, bro. It's like when they see you going up there, especially when you're young, they're going to cheer you up, And I see this in New Zealand a bit less, but by French Polynesia, they cheer you up. And I felt that. And the other thing is that motivate me the most is, man, is the privilege to be here and do this. Like, that motivates me. I know there are places in the world, they can't even think about doing this. They can't even think about acting. They can't even think about making films. They can't think about all those things. And when I said to myself, well, what's your heart? Your heart is not getting gigs. Your heart is not getting auditions. Or what's your heart compared to other people's hearts? You know, don't get your house bombed. You know, you go get people come into your house and rent your house and take your family away from you. So I had no excuse, man. I said to myself, I got no excuse. No matter what I do, I've got all the tools to make it work. And I have to choose that heart. And I have a good heart compared to a lot of people. So I for a lot of it is gratitude. It's like, I mean, I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be doing what I am doing. And I thank you for letting me do this. Whoever's out there, the universe, thank you for letting me do that. So that's something that drives me a lot, is that gratitude, knowing that, you know, somehow the universe put me here and I have to do something about it, something good about it. So that's what drives me. Yeah.
Man, my Lord, love us go. It's not refreshing, but I admire men who say that, and because I believe 100%. I'm with you in this. I totally agree, Ko, that we live in a day and age where technology, you've got social media, all these things around us, we have so accessible. We've got all these things that, and the wealth of knowledge is obviously on our devices and phones. And I love what you said. My heart is not as hard as other people's hearts, or the trauma or whatever that people have gone through. And I love what you said. And you said this: I have no excuse not to be successful.
No excuse, man.
I have no excuse to not be successful. And I truly believe that. And I know when you say that, you truly believe that. I believe that as well. We have no excuse to not be successful in whatever goal or whatever aspiration, whatever dreams that we have. Everything's there at arm's reach. And to hear that from you, bro, because in a feature film, TV series. And so when I'm thinking about success, what does success look like for you? And I'm not talking from the industry view. Mm. What does success look like for you on a personal level?
For me, success, man, I love helping people. Like for me, success is to have enough wealth so I can help people. Like this is, for me, success. It's to be able to be a vehicle of something greater and be able to be open to that. You know, like as someone navigating through life, there's a lot of vices, there's a lot of up and downs, there's a lot of egos. And that's pretty much your obstacles, really, is your own ego. And for me, it's to be able to navigate and learn how to put my ego aside, and to be able to welcome what the universe is asking me to do and be that big portal. And have enough wealth. It can be anything, you know. It can be opportunities. It can be material wealth. It can be money. Anything that can help me help people, because that's something I'm inspiring to do. That's something that I love doing. I love giving because I feel like I've got given so much, and every day life gives me so much, and I can't help but just give back. And that's me. Is going out there, be like, I'll do all those things and I'm going to have fun through it. And I'm going to achieve whatever I will achieve. But I want to achieve so much to be able to help people and help them in any way I can. And eventually, for me, have one, that's really far, you know, going success. But for me, success is to be able to tell my parents that the sacrifice was worth it. Be like, you know what, Dad, you don't want mom. I'm going to take you around the world and I make you travel and I make you heal whatever trauma you're going through, and see my brother going through his project, music project. And it's like, you know, bro, I'm going to help you too. You know, I'm going to help you achieve whatever you're trying to achieve. And same with my sister, you know, I'm going to help them. Even the boys that is in my group, they have a lot of dreams. Success is for me having the tools to help them. And that's for me, success is to see that happening. And eventually whatever is going to happen in the world, that's me, just trying to help people be the best of themselves. Because I believe the reason I am here, you know, like you, like most of us, we're people of the light, man. Like we're people who share light. We're here to shine light in the world, and we have opportunity to do that. And that's me. I'm trying so hard to be that light. Success for me is to be able to be that light and shine and make other people shine, so I can just disappear into the light and just be some nothing. It's just light. It's not good. Names, not fame and all of that. It's good. It's cool. I like that too. But that's not the most important for me. Just like being that light for a lot of people.
It's beautiful. Yeah, yeah. Man. There you go. Barry, you're throwing nuggets tonight now, Kahu. Man. Nuggets tonight, brother. You've mentioned them several times tonight. You mentioned your mom and dad.
Yeah.
Obviously, without a shadow of a doubt, play a massive part, an integral part of who you are. Brother, because you've mentioned them so many times tonight, tell us, mom and dad, tell us why are they so important to you, and why do they play a massive part? Obviously, you know, because they're your parents, but I want to hear from you.
Yeah. For me, man, like for my childhood was really, I wouldn't say hard, I would say tough. But I've seen my parents going through a lot of adversities, man. Like, it's just people being mean, man. Like, my parents are the most generous people I've ever known, man. We'll help so much people. But there's a lot of people who are not part of the light that will try to take away that light from you. And I've seen that my whole life. And I see my parents, they teaching me so much about trauma. You know, they've gone through a lot of shit themselves. And what they taught me the most is resilience and putting love first. It's putting love first and empathy. Like being able to relate to someone. And that's something that I'm proud that I learned from my parents. Because my parents, bro, a lot of people think we're back in the island, we were wealthy. And I'm not shy to say this. I have a privileged childhood. You know, my mom was a primary school teacher. She worked her ass off, man, for 25 years to be a primary school teacher, sacrificed being a mother and to be able to provide for us. And we have everything. We have money. We have everything that we wanted from our mom financially. And she sacrificed that. And I see that. And same for my dad, man. He sacrificed so much of his dreams, man, just to be with us, just to be able to feed us, just to be able to teach us how to be good men, you know. I saw that, and I lived through every single struggle they've gone through, every single sacrifice, every single people that are trying to be mean to us for no reason. And still, they show love, man. Like, still show love to people. I see them just giving with nothing in return. And my dad is a carver. And I see his journey too. My dad and my mom, they were both inspiration. But my dad, man, he's an inspiration, bro. Like, he comes from the dark hole of the Marquesas Islands, like no privilege, lost his mom when he was young, didn't have a father. You know, the father was struggling, he went to depression because my grandma never get to meet her. She died when she was 32, you know, and my dad has to go through living by himself in the dark with no lights and seeing the world from that perspective for a long time. And then he went to do other things, became homeless. And then he went on to do fishing and hunting and planting. And then I see him becoming someone through carving. And when he found carving as a passion, and my dad is making good living today of carving. And not because of the carving itself. There's the carving itself. It's the mana, you know, like the mana, the real mana, not the mana that you go out there with your ego. It's the mana from the core, man. When I see my dad, fuck, he's a superstar, man. When I see him, it's like tiny little guy with a tattoo on his head. That inspired me. He succeeded with everything thrown at him. Succeeded, made it to the point where he can help people today. And still, he's helping people today, helping me. That's what inspired me a lot. Be like, man, you've gone through all of that? And mom, you've gone through all of that? But you choose love? You choose love, you know, above everything, and you choose to be giving. Fuck, I'm emotional.
Oh, hey, man.
Think about my dad all the time.
All good.
Fuck, man, my dad. Bro, like, the big truth of all of this, yeah. My dad is sponsoring my career, bro. Like, the guy that was the brokest guy on the island, he's sponsoring my career. And that is a big drive for me, from a man to a man, from a father to a son. And that's why I'm really grateful to be able to speak highly of them, and they're great parents. And that's why it's important for me in the future to be a great dad, you know, to be a great parent. So, yeah.
Bro, I tell you what, Kahu, and I feel it. I feel your emotion. I feel your obviously your pride in of my case aside, but also yeah. Your family, your parents. And it is, I think for when you have these dreams, these bold dreams, and you come from humble beginnings, and like obviously you said that you came from a place where you're privileged, but it doesn't mean anything in terms of who you are as a person and your character. And props to your mum and dad. And I acknowledge that. What's your mum and dad's name?
So my mum's name is Evelyn.
Evelyn.
And my dad's name is Pierre.
Pierre. Pierre.
Yeah.
Evelyn and Pierre. Hey, props to you both. to your lovely parents, and also props to your son. Amazing, amazing man. You've done an amazing job as parents. Amazing man indeed. Kahu, I love it. I love it. And I can sit here and just listen to what you are. You are a great storyteller. You are an inspiration. And when you speak of conviction, you speak of purpose, and you speak of passion.
Mm.
And you don't shy away. You don't shy away about who you are as a person. In my case, is Ireland, and as an individual, your family, and so forth. And I love that you said that, man, my dad, love my dad and your mom, but more so, you said, I want to be a good man. I want to be just like him. I want to be a man or a father who is a good man. And whilst being in New Zealand, and maybe even in Marquesas Island, what do you think? Or what are you viewing? What are you seeing in New Zealand, and even back home in my cases, or home, like still home? Home is here. Like,
yeah, all of them home, man.
You're Kiwi anyway, man. You've been here for 7 years. What are you seeing? Do you see a difference? Is there something that you feel like there's missing in here in terms of the men? Or is there something that's missing in the islands? What do you see? Are we in a good place? Are we in a place where we're lacking something?
Well, personally, I think the environment play a big part in terms of becoming a man. Environment plays a big part. I feel like when you're in the island, becoming a man, it's knowing how to feed your family by knowing how to hunt, how to fish, how to plant, how to look after your kids, how to look after your wife. Like, to the point where when I go fishing, my dad will be like, "Oi, I've got 20 fish. How many did you have?" "Oh, two." "Oh, you can only feed one person today." "I got 20. I got to feed you, mom, brother, sister." So every time I go fishing from that day, I'm like, okay, I'm going to shoot two for my dad and two for my mom. And I grew up like that, being responsible for other people. And also, it's when I came to New Zealand, becoming a man, it's difficult here. Being the man, island man that you want to be. It's because of the environment. I think the environment plays a big part. And I see here, becoming a man, you have to find out a new way to become a man. And I see that island dad, bro, like island dad, you try to be the man, you know, try to cook and try to clean the house and try to, you know, I see my partner's dad, he's that dad, you know, he's the dad that cook, that clean, that old, all those things. And props to him for doing that. But I feel today society has, because we don't do all those things to provide for our family, we see becoming a man through money, how much you can provide to your family and materialistic stuff, which is nothing wrong with it, I think. But I'm speaking for an island perspective, we have no choice but to be a man because it's survival. Like, that's the main core of becoming a man. It's survival. Like, for me, growing up in the island, I grew up in places where people will kill each other for survival, will eat each other for survival, you know? It's like, I lived like that, and I live in places like that. So becoming a man is a survival instinct that you have to fish, get a hunt. You go to the Marquesas Islands, people, they don't wear shorts. They wear shoes, hunting shoes, army pants, shirt full of holes, and a rifle in the back, and a little bit of blood on their shoulders because they've been hunting all day. That's them becoming a man. But from the outside, right? From the outside, that's them becoming a man. But here in New Zealand, you can become a man from the inside. This is what I found interesting. We can become a man from the inside. And I applaud all the men out there trying to help with mental health. I think as men, coming from the island and moving to a diaspora is a big readjustment. It's a big readjustment. You got to become a man from the inside. You live in a world where being seen as a man is different than how you want to be seen in the islands. It comes from the inside. Like, if I didn't come in New Zealand, I would be a really rough man. Like, I would be a really rough, not showing my emotion type of man. Like, this is something that I found in New Zealand that was really helpful. It's like, I'm going to be a rough man. I'm going to be the guy that provides for the family that never had an emotion. And my dad, it was like that a lot too. And when I came to New Zealand, I felt like, no, becoming a man, it's not holding your family on your shoulder all the time. It's not having that pressure. It's being able to play your role, being able to be there and play your role and asking for help. This is what I learned in New Zealand. In the island, it's this whole stereotype of being survival instinct, hunting, fishing, providing for your family, be tough, not showing weakness. And then when you show up to New Zealand, it's a different type of man. It's a man that is sensitive, that is caring, that need healing, that need readjustment, that need care. I feel like in the island, in here in New Zealand, we need to take care of our man, man. We need to take care of our man. I think how we're built as humanity, we're the one that just protect our family, ready to take the weapons and go out there. But this is not the world we live in. So I think we need to take care of our men in a way where we need to accept. For me, for example, I needed to accept that I have to be sensitive. I have to let go of the control. I have to tell myself that I need help. I have to tell myself it's okay to cry. It's beautiful. I have to tell myself that I don't need to challenge that manhood that is in the island. I don't need to be that guy anymore. I can be who I can be right now, the man that I am. And it comes from even the fact that you identify as a man, right? Like, identifying as that man. So I get to be the man that I am, as who I am now, the kahu. And talking about that, it's complicated for me. I mean, in New Zealand, it's complicated for me still. I still see, you know, a lot of men suffering in New Zealand from a lot of mental health in the young people, and especially our brown people. And I get that. I get that. It's our environment. I get that. Our DNA is just like, it's all about living in the islands, trying to survive. And it comes from DNA. It comes from mana. It comes from energy. And it comes to a place where your fish is in the supermarket. Just have to drive it back and save. And your wife can even go do it for you. And you become sort of useless. And then you're like, oh, I'm going to go hunt. Don't need to. You go to the butcher and you get meat. And then you sort of have to readjust your role in the family. And most of the time, man, it's not providing for the family and money. But I think we're still learning how to be a man in this society. And I think we're learning in the right way. I believe we're learning in the right way, because the sensitive, the caring, the man who cries, who accepts his weakness, is the strongest man. Is the strongest man. Because from there, you build yourself up and you don't have that pressure anymore of becoming that man, that masculine man that you've seen, even though it's cool. But yeah, there's a big shift, and I feel like we're in a good place. We're in a good place. I'm saying this because the man that I was in the Marquis of Silence, the tough man, became really sensitive here, more caring. Even though I can be intimidating sometimes, I saw the change, because I saw when I went back to see my dad, he was a tough man. I said, Dad, you know what? You need to cry. You don't need to be that guy anymore. You need to show your love. You need to be able to show that you need help. And that took him probably 55 years to realize that, bro. Jeez. So I see the man that is caring, they need to be a bit soft in a good way. But still, man, like the man in New Zealand, if you want to try to tough it up a little bit more, it's good. But we are in a good path. But we just need to adapt for society. Like, for people who want to go back home and try to be a man, don't need to do that. I think becoming a man is a thing with yourself. Nobody going to tell you how you should be a man. Like, I see that happening with me too. I've been here 7 years. You know, when I go spearfishing and I see my cousin, 11-year-old, 15 meters on the bottom of the ocean, staying there chilling for 5 minutes, holding their breath. I can't even hold my breath for 45 seconds. I used to do that and have to accept. It's like, yo, you're the man. It's okay, you know. And even when I go back, I don't get myself dirty as much, because I've been living in a comfortable life. Have to accept it. I'm the man I'm becoming. I can't just challenge that manhood, you know. So when I go there, I'm proud. I see them, you know, it's cool. I accept that. I accept to be the guy that come from the city. But still, it doesn't make me less of a man, you know? Yeah.
Man, awesome, Kai. I appreciate your perspective as well. You're right. And, you know, I think in terms of what you're saying, and I agree in terms of this needs to be a fine balance, eh, Kahu?
Yeah.
There should be a stoic man, and then obviously still be compassionate, still be loving and so forth, but still have that kind of stoicism in terms of being a man, like provider and that kind of hunter. And you're right. I love what you said, you know, survival. It's kind of like the survival of the fittest, eh? Obviously, in different islands, not in the Western, they're not privy to the Western way of living. But we're here, and you're right, we can be quite comfortable, but always tend to think it's always a balance of being like, be the protector, be the provider, but also at the same time, compassion and love and so forth. Yeah, thank you for that, man. That's awesome, bro.
I see that you learn how to become the lion and the lamb.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly, yeah. Nice. There's always that balance. I appreciate that, man. But also, going back to your career as an actor / screenwriter, director, and so forth. If someone came up to you, a youngin, or someone who aspires to be doing what you're doing, what piece of advice, what one word of advice or honest advice could you give to these young budding creatives?
Well, my piece of advice is ask for help. Go out there, ask for help. See other people out there doing it. Ask for help. You might not get the help. You might not get the people, but you're always going to get somewhere. And for me, for example, I went into the industry. I grabbed any opportunity I had and asked for help. Man, the good thing about our people, man, we know how to help people, bro. And that's not something that I'm grateful to be Polynesian. And I'm not speaking for other people, but for me, being Polynesian, I definitely see the tautua, you know, definitely see the help. And the reason I'm here is because of those people who helped me. Like, shout out to Stallone and Barrows and Nicky Siulipa, all those people, man, they helped me. And they probably didn't earn money doing that, but I asked for help. I went there, I said, bro, I need help. I need to get into the industry. And don't be shy about it. And keep asking for help until you land on the right people. I ask help for big people too, and they just look at me like, you know, I'm not going to help you. That's okay. I understand now why they don't help me, because it's hard. But it's asking for help. Asking for help, but at the same time, not being cringe about it. You know, don't be cringe about you asking for help. Don't be cringe. It's normal. You got to be a bit brave to go out there and bang on those doors. But there will be people who help you, you know. And another thing I would say is being there for the right reason. If you're there for the wrong reason, you're going to have a right time. If you're there for the wrong reason, you're going to have a hard time, because you can't lie. You go see someone, you know why they're there. You know, we're artists. We're really sensitive people. We've been there. We've been that fake guy. We've been that good guy. We're trying to make up so many stuff to succeed, to break through. But be honest with your intention. I think it's, if you really want it, go for it and show that you want it. People will help you. If you go in there to get other things, do something else. Yeah, because you got to be honest with yourself. Ask for help. And be true to yourself. Like, don't lie. Yeah, don't try to pretend to be something and to get something out of someone. I was that place. I was in that place because I thought that was the way. But that's not the right way. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with people. There are people that will help you. There are people, genuinely good people in this industry. Yeah.
That's good. I like that. I like that you're saying that. Because I can imagine sometimes in the industry, and I've heard some stories or horror stories around, whether it's been the movies or singing, the music industry and so forth, that people can be quite cutthroat. Oh, no. You know, and people which might can be overhauling, like, in terms of, I want to get to the top and so forth. I want to be the main guy or the main person. Mm-hmm. You mentioned ego this evening. How do you keep that in check, especially in this kind of industry? How do you keep your ego in check?
I pray every day, bro. I pray every day the universe to keep my ego in check. Bro, every day, that's what I pray. I say, universe, you know, I'm getting all those things. I'm pretty happy what I'm doing. Man, I'm getting all those gigs. please keep my ego in check. Please do that. Because that's what's going to be out of, on my way. That will stop me from achieving more. So for me, it's same of what I said before. It's not identifying myself with that. Identifying with my human values. That's one thing. And also always keeping my ego in check every day, telling myself that, you know, it's not up to you. You know, you're in there, it's not up to you, but at the same time, being grateful. Gratitude, showing a lot of gratitude. And another thing is, when you ask the universe to keep your ego in check, bro, the universe is going to show up with hard stuff, man. Like, and I see it. When I ask the universe for it, my universe is going to take me all the way to this mountain. And they'll be like, all right, are you ready for your ego? And then something else will come in and just crush your soul. And you fall into this massive cliff. And that's just your ego. And you gotta pick yourself up and you'll be pissed off and be like, I don't want to be in this industry anymore. And then your universe will show up, be like, this is what you asked. This is what's going to keep you going in this industry. Do you really want it? Do you really want to keep going? So that's how I keep my ego in check. I allow myself to be there and waiting to fall. Not because I don't celebrate, but I know I'm going to fall. I know something's going to happen to keep myself in check. If it doesn't happen, sweet, I celebrate. If it happens, I welcome it. I accept it. Bro, like, ego comes from vices. You know, it can be alcohol, it can be woman, it can be money, all those things. Those things are right there. So I try to see it when it's coming. And when I see it, I'm like, oh, this is what's going to feed my ego. It's going to be so good. But I'm just going to keep myself here. I'm going to keep going that way. And focusing me as being a human and being privileged to be here and doing that. Keep being me. Keep being humble. Keep being humble. But being humble, not being humble in a way where you don't celebrate your wins. Because sometimes, brown people, we're humble. We don't want to be big. No, fuck, you got to be big. If you were big, be big.
Nice.
But it's like, be humble in a way where, remind yourself where you come from. You know, remind yourself that you're human. You know, remind yourself that. Remind yourself your role as well in your community. And when you remind yourself that, it just keeps you in check.
It's good, man.
Yeah. And the universe be like, hey, come. Hey, celebrate your thing. All right, take your time. All right, now you have your big head. Bam! And the universe comes in. It's like, it's hard, man. And some people are good at avoiding it. Avoiding all those, like, universe slaps. But, man, when you keep avoiding it, the universe gets smart with it. So, receive it. Yeah, go out there, yeah, give the other one.
Good advice, man. Good advice. And I love it. I love it that you're saying, obviously, you're being humble. Because it is. It can be quite, especially when you've done, like, you know, you feel like you've done an amazing project. You've, it's amazing. I think you're quite successful. And, oh, you know, and obviously, just human nature. The ego and the pride come, oh, starts to rise. Oh, I did this and that. But I love what you said. You just keep yourself in check. Keep humble. Not to the point where you, like, kind of keep yourself small, but, you know, celebrate those wins. And I think it's important that we do that. I love it, man. Good advice as well, brother. Also, the same token, brother, because your feature films and so forth. And what story would you love to tell that hasn't been told on screen yet? And you're like, oh, I want to do the story, but no one has done it on screen yet.
Bro, I think what we need to be seeing on screen is heroes. Like, tell me one film where we've seen a Polynesian hero. I mean, I'm not going to say controversial stuff. I know things can be controversial. Like, the person is a hero, and then at the end, they're not the hero again. Because there's not enough people that can watch that hero. For me, man, I want to see our people being heroes, man. That's the film I want to watch. That's the, bro, like, our community have so many heroes. Bro, that's the film I want to watch. A film that we celebrate being heroes, but not victims. Like, I felt like sometime we got to make films about us being victims. It's part of healing trauma. It's part of playing that political game that they all want us to play. But, man, we got to make film about us being heroes. Bro, like, the reason we're here, because our ancestors were heroes. We're heroes, man. And I feel like it's not getting told that as much. It's not getting told out there loud enough. I feel like it's always, oh, you're a hero. No, you know, nah, man, you gotta be a hero. And I want to watch those films where brown people are heroes. Be like, man, we went all through this, all this shit, colonization, whatever's out there, but we're still here being heroes and being people who share love. We're not being heroes because we want to be like, yeah, we are the brown people. No, we're here and we choose to love you and we choose to spread love. And that's the type of hero I want to see. And that's the type of story that I want to see out there. I feel like politics want us to play victims a lot. And because they want to keep us there, because they feel comfortable, whatever people in power. But man, that's the story we need to tell each other. Like, this is what this is about. Yeah, you know, you're a hero. You've been doing this for 10 years, banging this, and you're changing life. And it's same for me, you know. I try to be the hero on my way. And those type of story need to be on screen.
It's good.
Because our kids needs it. Our people needs it. Our man, our woman, whoever's out there, they need heroes, bro. Like, that's what they need. They need to be empowered. They need to feel valued and loved. And they need to feel that power. Having power is also having power of loving. Like, that's power out there, bro. Like, that's what I want to see.
It's good, bro.
That's what I want to see.
I like this. It's exciting. You know, I agree in terms of the victimhood and us being victims and playing those kind of roles, even in real life. Yeah, I think there needs to be more of us in a shed in a positive light. And so no Marquise's man coming out of the... Nothing like that in terms of superheroes.
Bro, the biggest project I have, it's funny enough, the biggest project I have, it's two feature film, is about two stories about my dad, different places in his life. Like, two stories about my dad. And there's another story about a guy back home, his name is Lucien Kimitete. It's quite a big figure, political figure. There's a film about him that I want to make. I feel like the French Polynesia and Marquise Island deserve a film like that. And two feature film about my dad. And man, I've seen my dad going through a lot of stuff. So I see two films about him and how many people can I identify through that. And then, that's the type of film I'm seeing at the moment. So I'm working on writing those films and having the skills to do it, to make it. But in terms of superheroes, bro, it's complicated. Like, it needs, if you want to make like a superhero type of thing, like Superman and all those things, it takes a lot of money, man. And it takes our people to watch it too. So it's good that our Polynesian family have a lot of kids, eh? I think we need to make more kids. Oh, it's a good thing, bro. Bro, it puts, not like business side, bro, if you have a family, a couple with 20 kids that show up to your cinema, bro, it's profitable.
20 kids from the same woman. I'm praying you're the man.
But you need that to make that film. It's crazy how the business work. It's like, all right, you know how many white Americans out there? There's a lot of them, millions. So they can make a Superman because they are the one filling the seats. But if you want to make a Samoan or a Marquesian or whatever Polynesian heroes out there, you need to make sure I fill the seats in the cinema. Then you can make it because you have to learn the business side of it. So that's where I am. Like, we can do that. We can do that if you have, we can do that if you push the politics and we hammer the door. We can do that. But the smart way of doing it is get our people to watch our films, get to cinemas and get our culture shared and show a lot more. Because the more you share about your culture, the more humanity they see in our culture, the more common things they see. The more they see themselves. Like, imagine one day a person from China, they will see, they relate to someone from Samoa. And you can beautifully do that in a film. You can do any superhero movie, bro. Like, because we have this whole politics things that try to divide people, but if you try really to share our culture to each other, educate each other to know who we are, we're all gonna realize we're the same. And we're all gonna celebrate the same thing. And we're all gonna watch the same movies. Look at, we watch American movies and we say, like, bro, I'm Captain America, but the brown version. But no, man, like, because we see humanity in there, because they share this, the culture so mainstream. So when we reach that stage, then we can make superhero movies. We can convince people to do it. We can, you know, you need to get the money together to make it. So yeah, Of course, man. That's the plan. Bro, down the line, man.
That's good, man. I think is it the ultimate goal, Kyrie? Is it the ultimate goal to obviously feature film, but a blockbuster film? Is that for you?
Bro, get the highest level. Don't be scared to go high. Like, what are you gonna lose? You know, if I go high, what am I gonna lose? If I fail in this career, I'm gonna go home. I'm gonna start fishing. Nobody's gonna bother me. I'm gonna go hunting. I'm gonna be in the mountain. Nobody's gonna bother me. No social media. No nothing. I can do that right now if I fail. I got nothing to lose. And there's a lot of people out there, bro, you got nothing to lose. There's one thing, we got to be the best. Like, there's one thing. You can talk high and you can build a whole airplane just talking. But you got to get the skills. You got to get to work, man. Like, we got to work hard. Like, there's one thing to dream about something, but there's another thing to do the work. And I feel like sometimes when the work starts, we get a bit lazy. We get a bit, it's too much work. Nah, man, you gotta do the work, yeah, bro. Man, and to get true. To that level, you gotta go, the blockbuster is, it's, we can do it, but you gotta do a lot of work. And we gotta be the best at telling our stories. We gotta get the skills and be patient about it. Great things doesn't happen like that. And I learning that today. It's like, bro, I wanted my second film that's coming up. It's called Kui. It's going to Canada, Imaginative. I wanted that film to go to Sundance. I was like, fuck, I want to make that film. I want to go to Sundance. I want to do this. Putting myself high expectation. It didn't go to Sundance. What did I learn from it? I was like, man, I need to direct more stuff. I need to network more. I need to learn the politics of it. I need to find the right people to do this. I need to upskill. I need to ask for help. I need to humble myself, you know, like, fuck, I didn't go to Sundance, but I got to humble myself. But like, nah, this is, you got to go there fast. You know, you got to take your time, and it's patience and constantly being there, being patient. And as soon as we all do that together, we're all willing to work, because I feel like sometime in our community, you can tell in social situation, there are people who make the food and people who come up and eat the food. You know, and there's always the people who cook the food, who clean the dishes, right? And then I think we need more people that cook the food.
Yeah, we need less of these people who eat the food. Those are the ones that don't work. Oh man, Kyrie, man, you're throwing some nuggets, brother. Awesome. It's absolute pleasure, and I love what you're saying. And I think the more of us, and I love it when people do mention, especially with the guests that come and say, "Hey, it's work. It's the hard work. It's the grease and the elbow and the grease and so forth. You just gotta put in the work, and put yourself out there and learn, learn and upskill and refine your craft or whatever it is that you choose in life." And I love what you said. It is work, and it's something, because we live in a day and age where it's instant gratification. Hey, I'll go instant. Right. I want it now. I want it now. I want success now. But you know, you're not ready. I believe you're not ready when you just want it now. But when the opportunity does arise, because you've been working, because you've been refining your craft, you're ready. And I love it. I love what you're saying. And I agree with what you're saying as well, brother. But I thought just one last question, Kahu. In terms of, obviously, you talked about blockbusters and just aim high and just go big. What's the legacy? What's the legacy for you? And what do you want to leave behind? And it may not even be about film. It may be something to do with family. But what your personal legacy, what do you want to be remembered for? What do you want to be renowned for? Or what do you want to be people to remember you as Kahu Kaiha?
It's a big question, but I've already answered it for myself. I want to be big enough to the point that people forget who I am. That's what I want to be. I want to be big enough and people forget who I am. I want them to remember the work. I want them to remember the path they need to be to take to go somewhere. I want them to remember how much you need work, how much you need resilience, how much you need love. And bro, if I get 1,000 years, nobody's gonna know who you are, bro. Probably gonna be robots. They might not know how to pronounce your name. They might be probably only ChatGPT will say your name. You know, for me, it's not about the name. It's about the work that I left behind. I want to work so hard and aim so high that I can get out of the way. And I don't want people to remember who I am, but I want people to celebrate the work and celebrate who they are with the work that I've done before. I'm just putting a stone there. Like in the marae, when you go in the marae, in the Marcus of Silence or wherever there is stone platform. Do you remember who put that stone there? You don't.
I don't know.
That person probably didn't think, but you forget about that person, but that stone is still there, still holding solid. And I want to be that stone. I don't know who put there, but I want to be that stone. Because I feel like whatever comes from the universe goes back to the universe. At the end of the day, it's all that. It's all that. And that's how I see myself going from a holistic level. But in terms of what legacy do I want to leave behind? It's, for me, it's about being yourself. Be authentic to who you are. And loving. Choosing love. Choosing love beyond everything. Choosing love beyond everything. Even when it's hard. Because, man, love, that's what we need in the world right now. And it doesn't matter who gives love. We all need love. It doesn't matter who's the vehicle of it. That's the main purpose. The legacy is being able to go out there. If I see on a small level, it being able to see Marquesian healing from the indigenous people in general, that's the legacy I want to leave on a realistic level. It's for the indigenous people to know how great they are, how big of a heroes they are. Polynesians, Native Americans, you know, First Nations, everywhere there's indigenous people. I want them to feel, to live their life being empowered, being loved, being seen, being valued. And then when I will see that happening in the world, of there's going to be a process of that, I don't need my name in it. My name is just going to be a vehicle of that. And they can remember that. Like, remember, yo, I'm an indigenous person. I survive resilience and I'm able to love you. Doesn't matter who you are. And I'm able to build this community together. Doesn't matter what your name. Kahu kaiha, it's just the fun that I'm having right now with this body and the spirits. But that's not important. For me, it's being big enough that I become relevant, but the work of healing my people becomes the most important thing. That's where I want to go. That's my legacy. Yeah.
Wow, brother. Oh, my also, hey, that's the first time I've ever heard that. Kahu. You know, people often say, oh, legacy, I want to be remembered for this and that. But you're saying, hey, I'd rather be forgotten.
Yeah.
But be renowned and remembered for the work. Brother, absolutely, absolutely amazing. Amazing, my also. It's been an absolute pleasure. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I hope it's been likewise for you. So, Kahu, we always give our guest a gift.
Oh.
At the end of every talano or kōrero, we always have a gift. And I always give them a cartoon or caricature of how we envision our guests to be. And so, Kahu, on behalf of the Mandate team, this is for you, my brother. Also, this is for you.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you so much, bro.
No, thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your words and for sharing your journey thus far, Kahu. Absolutely. I wish you nothing but the best, brother. Nothing but the best in your journey, your endeavors, the acting, your film, your feature films, whatever happens and whatever the universe brings to you and your ainga, your family, nothing but the best. And that you just be blessed beyond your wildest imagination, brother.
Say, man. I just want to say thank you to what you do too. I feel like people like us, there's not a lot of us, helping community, doing the best I can to give platform to our people. But I'm really grateful to be here. I'm really happy that you being successful in what you do. And I want to tell you guys that what you do changed people's life, bro. Like, even beyond New Zealand, what you do bring people here, talking about their journey, it changed people's life. And that's something to be reminded of. Like, thank you so much for doing that. And I hope you get all the success. And I hope you celebrate your success as well. But at the same time, I hope to keep loving what you do and whatever dream you have in your life. It's, yeah, I'm here. You know, I'm here in the journey. I'm here to help you no matter what. Brilliant. So
awesome,
I'm here, bro. So, yeah.
Oh, man.
Likewise. Thank you so much.
Likewise, brother. No, thank you. Thank you very much. Absolute pleasure, like I said before. And just looking forward to what's in store or what's next for you in the film. Obviously, you're going to 685 tomorrow, isn't
it? Yeah, I'm going to Samoa. Yeah,
bro, man. And hey, all the best over there. Safe travels and absolute pleasure. And once again, Baro Lover Soy Fu of the Tele Lover of the Tele Lover Kahu. Appreciate you and your time. Once again, Kahu. Oh, amazing.